I just have to say this because they always sit in this spot in the front, but welcome back to the Jose family. Good to have you back. And I just need to tell you, Ark, that while you were away, I preached my two shortest sermons of the year. And I also got to tell you, this ain't one of them. Be that as it may, God's Word has some important things to say to us this morning. The presence of angels in the Bible serves as a reminder that for God's people, there's more going on behind the scenes than imagined. All three of our scripture passages this morning, so to speak, pull the curtain back so that we can see the spiritual reality behind the onstage earthly drama that we are engaged in. The purpose of these biblical backstage views is this, that no matter how small and significant a minority God's people may be, we matter to God. No matter whether our lives or our actions stack up to anything according to this world system, we matter to God. We're talking ultimate meaning, folks. Our junior, senior high school ministry is called Asylum. I don't know if you knew this, but Asylum is a clever acronym. It stands for Answer So Your Life Ultimately Matters. Our gospel passage today features 72 people whose lives ultimately mattered. 72 sent out ones, we don't know their names, but 72 sent out, apostled by Jesus to preach, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, all done to proclaim one truth, that the kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe the good news. Now imagine for a moment these 72 returning to Jesus. They're flushed with excitement. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. That's pretty heady stuff. And Jesus affirms them. He says, guys, here's the backstage view. While you were on mission, out there proclaiming the kingdom, I saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw you trampling on the heads of serpents and scorpions in my name, just like God promised the descendants of Eve and Adam in the law of Moses. I saw it happen. That's the backstage view. Like Daniel and his beleaguered band of Judahites before, and later like St. John and his hard-pressed churches in Asia Minor in 90 AD, the curtain is drawn back, and suddenly the lives and the activities of ordinary believers is seen in its true cosmic Satan-toppling dimensions. And the message, of course, is yes, your lives and your struggles in Christ matter to God. They matter intensely to God. They matter desperately to God. They matter ultimately, which means they matter cosmically. And what we do here on earth, what we do as a church, matters intensely, desperately, ultimately, and cosmically to our Almighty God. Our lives and our church matter to God because here and now, nothing less than the downfall of Satan and his kingdom is being played out. And our scriptures tell us that Michael and the host of angels move in sympathetic vibration to what happens here on this stage on earth to us. We are heavily invested in the devil's demise, whether we acknowledge it or not, and so are the angels. And so let me ask you this question. Do you believe in Satan's downfall? Do you believe in the devil's demise? There are three time aspects to Satan's downfall, past, present, and future. First, let's deal with the past. I want you to take another look at our second reading, the reading from Revelation 12. And what do you see? What do you see in that passage? You see a woman giving birth to a child who will rule with an iron scepter. It's the Christmas story. But this is no Hallmark Christmas Channel Christmas story. What we see is a woman and a child, and a dragon. Notice in verse 1 that the woman is a sign. The woman is Mary, but she's also Israel, in whom was the seed of Eve, the seed whom God said would eventually crush the head of the serpent. The woman is also the church for whom Paul was in anguish of childbirth until Christ be formed in them. She is the whole people of God throughout history who have allowed God to be born in them, or, if you will, all who are or ever were truly born again. That's the woman. The dragon is also a sign, verse 3. The dragon is Satan, red with blood, with enough heads and horns and diadems to show that he's got all the wealth and the power in the world. He's no longer a little garden snake. He's a monster. As Martin Luther described him in the hymn, on earth is not his equal. And then there's the child. Notice the woman is a sign and the dragon is a sign, but the child is not a sign. He is Jesus. And this is the story which starts in Bethlehem, takes us to Jerusalem, and it takes us here to the cross. And what happened here at the cross? Colossians 3 tells us this, that God disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Christ. Where was that triumph forged? It was forged on the cross through the dead body of Jesus. Folks, the historic downfall of Satan happened at the cross, the moment that Jesus said it is finished and breathed his last. And at that moment, Satan's ironclad grip on humanity was forever broken. When Jesus' own blood paid for every last sin of humanity, at that moment, Satan fell in shame like lightning, thrown down by him who was lifted up and hung up to die upon the cross. Five times, no less than five times, in Revelation chapter 12, the words ring out, thrown down, thrown down, thrown down, thrown down, thrown down. Do you believe in Satan's downfall? Because it's happened already. It's in the past, but there's a present and a future aspect as well. So what about the present? Well, we see that in our gospel passage this morning. The disciples return and they report, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus' response is this, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Now, there's nothing in the passage that suggests that Jesus is thinking of the distant past. There's nothing to suggest that he's thinking of the near future when he is crucified. And there's nothing to say that he's thinking of the distant future when he will come again in his glory to deal Satan the final blow. He's talking about the present when he says, I saw Satan fall like lightning. He's talking about the proclamation message of the 72. And what we can say is, what they did, what those 72 did, it worked. As those 72 disciples preached and healed and cast out demons in Jesus' name, Satan was thrown down. Jesus says he saw Satan fall. And the strong implication, beloved, is this, that when we serve in Jesus' name, when we serve in Jesus' name, it happens all over again. Satan falls and we win. And that's got to be incredibly encouraging to us. Our lives and our actions really matter to God. When we pray for those school kids in Ghana and a few of them get saved, or when you teach a Sunday school class and you tell a four-year-old about Jesus, when we collect shoes for school kids and someone sees Jesus in that act of love and believes, whenever we baptize a baby or an adult and another sheep is found, another battle is won, Satan falls like lightning. Any one of you then could be among those nameless 72. Any of you can point someone to Christ. And you know what? Any one of you can cast out demons in Jesus' name. In fact, some of you have done just that. Do you believe in the downfall of Satan? And that even now, in our present day, even through St. Peter's Lutheran Church, that Satan is falling like lightning? If by some miracle the angel of the Lord pulled back the curtain on what really transpires, when, for example, we baptize a baby girl here, what would we see? I suspect one of you might say, if that curtain were drawn back, I saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw the head of the serpent trampled on by the Son of Man. I saw the Holy Spirit come down like a dove upon that baby and fill her whole frame with the presence and the cleansing power of the Almighty Father. I saw a daughter of Adam transformed into a new and glorious creature in Christ, for she became a woman clothed with the sun, with a moon at her feet, and the crown of 12 stars, ready to do battle with a dragon and overcome his deceit. And if you said that, it would all be true. And I'd have to say, yep, happens all the time here. Someone might ask, well, Pastor, how can you say that with certainty? I can say it because the words of Revelation 12:10 are true of every single baptism that we perform here. Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. They've come in the waters of baptism. Every baptism in Christ is a proclamation of the downfall of Satan. Now, having said that the downfall of Satan is occurring in the present, we also have to mention that Satan's downfall is in the future. There will come a day when Satan and all of his allies are going to be cast forever into the lake of fire to be tormented forever. Now, you can read about that in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. Then the downfall of Satan will be as complete as is the victory of Jesus. But for today, we are concerned about the present and what the downfall of Satan means for us. And this is true of you, beloved in Christ. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. Brothers and sisters, these words testify that your lives and your actions matter intensely, desperately, ultimately, cosmically, to Almighty God. The reason that I think we're so reluctant sometimes to believe that, to assign that kind of cosmic significance to ourselves, is that the dragon in the world and our fallen egos have lied to us. They tell us things like, you're nothing. You're nothing. And what makes you think that your life really matters to God anyway? Your life is yours to live after all. And so just follow the way of the world. Give up resisting. Beside, everyone is doing it. We're told things like this because Satan would love for each and every one of us to abandon the fight and just give in and follow the way of the world. But you can't let him do that. You can't let him do that because now the curtain has been pulled back and you have the backstage view. And now you know that what you are and who you are and what you do ultimately matters. Now you know that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, chapter 12, verse 11, by the simple fact that you have been redeemed through Jesus' atoning sacrifice. You are an overcomer. Now you know that we overcome by the word of our testimony. You don't have to believe the lies of Satan or this world or your own sinful flesh because you have the word of God and the word of God has been spoken into you. Now you know that we overcome by declaring the word of that testimony to the dragon and to the world. We overcome when we love not our own lives even unto death. At this very moment in the Islamic Republic of Iran, the gospel of Jesus Christ is spreading like wildfire. You say, Iran? How could that be? It's against the law, isn't it, to convert? But it's happening and it's spreading like wildfire because one person dares to tell another person the truth about Jesus and the lie about the false God Allah and his false prophet Muhammad. They tell this one to another on pain of death. Sounds like Revelation 12. Yes, our lives and our actions matter to God, and what we do takes on cosmic ultimate significance. But most beautifully of all, God does not love us or measure our cosmic importance based upon what we do. For after Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning, he says this, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. People of God, this is the crowning and perhaps the most beautiful piece of this good news for us today, that God does not need us to accomplish his plan. And maybe that sounds to your ears like, well, then we don't ultimately matter. No, just the opposite. We do ultimately and infinitely matter to God. We are so important that God doesn't need us. God will not use us in such a manipulative way to accomplish his plan. God doesn't need us. He loves us. And for that reason alone, our lives ultimately matter to him. In Christ, our names are written in heaven forever. And that is the word of our testimony, which overcomes the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen.